This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Thursday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. It's Technology Thursday. Apple wants to put your passport in your smartphone. We'll get some details on that. Right now, the weekly tally of jobless claims, as Elisa mentioned, it is out. Let's get some insight. Joel Naroff is here, president of Naroff Economics, based in Holland, Pennsylvania. I guess, Joel, let's begin by kind of giving us some of the nuts and bolts of this report.
Well, we saw another week of declining initial claims. Fewer people are being laid off, but at the same time, 1.3 million additional claims is not a great number. It tells me that an awful lot of businesses and governments are still cutting their workforces. So that was a positive number in the respect that there were fewer claims, but it's still way too high. And that's something we got to watch. On the continuing claims side, they came down fairly significantly, and we're seeing that the reopening is digging into the number of people who are actually receiving unemployment checks.
How important is it that we start to see the continuing claims number going down at a much bigger pace?
Well, that's really the case. I mean, right now we've got over 18 million people who are receiving unemployment claims. Checks. And that's really an enormous number. It tells me that the unemployment rate, the number of people who are really unemployed, is probably higher than that, because not everybody is receiving unemployment. So we need to get that number down very rapidly. It went down by 700,000. We need to get that thing coming down by over a million a week. And I don't see that happening, because the virus resurgence is slowing the reopening, and that's going to slow the job gains.
I'm even thinking with retail and with restaurants, some of those job gains. You have restaurants and retail opened at way less capacity than they had before, which means they don't need as many employees.
Absolutely, and I think that's really the key point to keep in mind. There's one thing to look at the rate of change. I mean, how many new jobs are created? But if you take the May and June numbers that were added, they only account for roughly one-third of all of the jobs that were lost in March and April. And that's the problem. We've got to look at where we were compared to where we are right now. So as I tell people to do, when you look at things like employment or output, look at the February numbers and the levels compared to where we are now. If you're looking at GDP, you look at the last quarter of 2019 and do the comparisons. And those numbers are still way below where they had been. And it could take years to get back to where they had been. And that's the problem we face. An awful lot of people are going to be unemployed for an awful long period of time.
What role does unemployment insurance play in keeping the economy moving in some respect? Because people are being laid off, but there is at least some income coming in for a while.
Indeed, if you take a look at the income numbers that are out there, and you look at the growth in income, most of that growth is coming from government policies, whether it's unemployment insurance, additional unemployment, the $600 a week that we're getting, the pandemic unemployment assistance, or even through the PPP. Remember, the PPP may be keeping businesses going, but that money is coming from the government itself. So it's the government that's creating all the income gains. The additional $600 is due to run out at the end of this month, and that money's been the key to keeping demand up, keeping spending up, and keeping businesses running. And if we don't get something done at the end of this month, I think the economy is going to be in for another a real rough period.
Thanks so much for all the analysis, Joel Naroff, president of Naroff Economics. Just ahead, a top American doctor has a strong suggestion for states experiencing COVID-19 surges. White House health advisor Anthony Fauci addressing the resurgence of COVID-19 in some states. To talk about it, we're joined by Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News, based in Minneapolis. Michelle, what is Dr. Fauci saying?
He's saying that we are now seeing exponential growth of coronavirus in certain states, particularly across the South, but also creeping up into northern areas, including places like Ohio and Utah. And when you see exponential growth, that is a very difficult thing to turn around and to change. And he's saying that states and citizens need to start taking some pretty dramatic action in order to get it under control.
And what is the, is the bigger issue the infections, or is it hospital capacity, people dying, people unable to get treatment or unable to get proper treatment? What's, I guess, the biggest challenge here?
Yeah, Cisco, you're absolutely right. I mean, and the answer is all of it. You know, as we've all talked about and heard about recently, case numbers are rising, right? In one quarter of our states, we're hitting record numbers of cases. And a lot of people have said that's not such a big deal. It's younger people. But we're also seeing 13 states are hitting record numbers of hospitalizations. That's serious. That doesn't mean we're just testing more or people who aren't going to be really sick are getting it. That is hospitalization rates. That takes up space that people would need if they're having a heart attack or something else. It's not something that you can control at all. And the same thing, we're now starting to see death rates increase. So the concern that or the thought that maybe this wasn't so serious is going by the wayside. And that's why Dr. Fauci is saying things like some of these states might need to close back down.
And this is the, I guess, the balancing act. And it's really difficult sometimes to get just straight facts and information because it all becomes political on one side or the other. You have maybe the need to shut things down, but then the wider economic impact if things are shut down again. And it's, you know, really very significant challenges, very difficult decisions for leaders to make.
It is very difficult for decisions for leaders to make. And the thing is we don't really have great data yet either. So we don't know exactly where these cases are coming from, exactly who they're hitting, or how serious of a problem it is. We only know when the hospitals say things like they're saying in a couple of counties in Texas, where they're so overwhelmed that they're saying, don't come in. So that means if you're a person who might need a hospital for some reason, like you have to not even leave your house because people aren't using their masks, they're not, you know, keeping distance. And if you get sick, you might have nowhere to go. And it's a difficult thing for us to be able to predict because we're not getting the kind of numbers and information that we need about what's spreading these cases.
Has there been any sort of talk now about maybe building the makeshift hospitals in some of these states like they built here in Chicago at McCormick Place when things were bad here?
Right. Well, it's so interesting. A lot of places are doing stuff like that. Governor Newsom in California said that they're in better shape now to take on this, certainly, than they were back in March. And it's really interesting to think about California, right? They were the first state with human-to-human transmission, and they're only now starting to see record rates. But they're saying they've boosted their PPE, and they have identified places where they can start bringing in patients if they need it, and they have ramped up their hospitalization capacity so that they think they're in pretty good shape. But a lot of places have not yet done stuff like that, and they're going to be scrambling if they need it.
Thanks for all the details, Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News. Just ahead, Walgreens is expanding its medical footprint, bringing doctor's offices right into the store.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
North Suburban-based Walgreens plans to open full-service doctor's offices in hundreds of its stores across the country over the next 5 years. Let's talk about the strategy with Bruce Japsen, Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes. Bruce, always good to have you on the show. What is Walgreens considering here?
Well, Cisco, this is definitely a different model. I mean, Walgreens tried and didn't really work out as well as CVS when they tried to do these take care health clinics where they had clinics in their stores with nurse practitioners and such. So they're going all out and they are spending $1 billion, $1 billion with a B, with Chicago-based Village MD, which has had great success opening up primary care doctors' offices across the country. Now, these will be in 30 markets across the country. We don't know yet which markets, but VillageMD is in Chicago, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're here. And these clinics will be staffed by physicians. They will be employees of VillageMD or have contracts and so forth. They will already have relationships with insurance companies. These doctors will be in the communities where the pharmacies are, and they'll be the clinics will be pretty much attached to the store. If you go to Forbes, you can see a picture that I have along accompanying my story. And it's a different model. I mean, you have CVS rolling out health hubs with personal care items, more healthcare services and so forth. CVS has not necessarily gone the physician route, but of course they bought Aetna, which has relationships with tens of thousands of physicians across the country. But this is definitely a big deal for Walgreens, because after they spend this $1 billion over the course of 3 years, they're going to have a 30% stake in VillageMD. So this is just another way that they think that healthcare is going retail, and that retail settings, whether it be CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, is starting to open super healthcare centers with doctors and dentists even in certain smaller markets. But this is a huge bet. I mean, more than 500 of these clinics across the country, and you can see it's not cheap. No offense to the nurse practitioners out there, but a physician, hiring a primary care physician, is a little more expensive than that. So this is a big bet for Walgreens, and we'll see whether it works out, because as you can see from today's earnings and such, Walgreens strategy-wise has not really been keeping Wall Street happy.
Yeah, so the money here is, I think a lot of people assume, oh, it's just about funneling people over to the prescription counter to get their prescriptions mm-hmm. there. That Walgreens has an opportunity to actually make money from the healthcare.
Oh, definitely. I mean, increasingly what's going on is, you know, you go to the doctor, you get healthcare has been fee for service, you know, go to an MRI, fee for service, et cetera, go to a physician, go to the hospital. Employers and people are tired of paying for healthcare waste, so they want it to be more coordinated. So Walgreens sees an opportunity here, whether if they have their own physicians under the umbrella via this VillageMD, that they can capture more of that revenue, but also better coordinate someone's care, making sure that they get healthcare in the right place, in the right time, and in the right amount. And if you have someone's prescription data, and if you have a relationship with a physician, you are more apt to make sure that your patients are going to be taking their medication. So the whole idea is to keep healthcare more coordinated, make sure they're getting their outpatient care in a doctor's office, in a retail setting, getting their prescriptions so they don't get healthy, so they don't get sick and they stay healthy.
Bruce Japsen, always good insight. You can hear Bruce's reports on health Monday evenings and Saturday mornings right here on News Radio. Thank you, Bruce. Still ahead, Technology Thursday. Cool, but possibly creepy innovations coming to your smartphone.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The Supreme Court releases a pair of decisions in cases involving President Trump.
This is Jennifer Kuiper. Teen hiring is on the rise.
In Technology Thursday, using your phone to start and turn off your car and also store your passport. Workers are returning to offices. There is a major emphasis on safety and security. On the markets, the Dow down 321 points. The NASDAQ is up 24, and the S&P is down 21 points. Oil is down nearly 3%. Sunshine in most of Chicagoland. A little rain moving through some of the northern suburbs, heading up to a high of 94 degrees. Right now it's 88 degrees, and there is a chance for some pretty rough thunderstorms to move through later on this afternoon. President Trump gets a split decision on the final day of the Supreme Court's term. CBS News White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
In the case involving New York prosecutors and their efforts to obtain the president's business records, the court flatly rejected Mr. Trump's arguments that as president, he is absolutely immune from local grand jury subpoenas. Chief Justice John Roberts' opinion also says the president can't demand that state prosecutors demonstrate a heightened need for his records. The case has been sent back to a lower court where the president might make other arguments. Separately, the justices rejected an effort by House Democrats to issue their own subpoena for the tax records. In that case, the court sided with the president, ruling that Congress's approach aggravated the separation of powers. If it were to stand, Roberts' opinion says, Congress could, quote, aggrandize itself at the president's expense, just as the framers feared. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Workers ages 16 to 19 were a hot commodity last month.
Teen hiring soared in June to just over 1.1 million from some 594,000 hires in May, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, as the economy reopened after the lifting of some COVID precautions. However, Andy Challenger with Chicago-based outplacement and executive and business coaching firm Challenger Gray and Christmas tells us.
But when we look at the overall numbers, the total amount of teens that are employed during this time period is lower than it's been in quite some time, obviously due to the COVID-19 pandemic and how that's affected the labor market more broadly.
Challenger says companies are looking for people they're able to plug and play into the role and don't need a lot of training. His advice for teen applicants, come prepared with your experience on digital platforms and how you can help a small company with their social media and digitizing of old files. Jennifer Kuiper, News Radio 105.9 FM.
If you're among the many working remotely, remember, throughout the day, all you have to do is tell your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio for all the latest developments. WBBM News Time, 12:33.
Download the WBBM Noon Business Hour podcast, or if you missed only a portion, rewind on the radio.com app.
The Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets coming back a little bit. The Dow had been down more than 500. It's now down 324. The NASDAQ in positive territory now, up 23 points. Let's find out what's going on. Paul Nolte is here, portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management here in Chicago. Paul, what do you make of what's going on today?
It's a little bit of a cooling of some of the speculative fervor that we've seen over the last week or two. We saw the markets really rally pretty hard, 4 to 5% last week, 10 days or so. And I think investors are taking a little step back after the weekly jobless claims this morning, and then certainly the reports from various states around the United States that we're seeing spikes in number of cases, and maybe we're going to shut down some bars and restaurants, or at least pull back from an aggressive opening. And that, I think, has some longer implications for the overall economy. And investors are just starting to take some of that into consideration.
Now, does that impact on the economy, does that end up being a broad-based impact in all sectors? Are there some that are maybe a little protected from that?
Well, that's what we're finding out now, is that the big tech names are now the, if you will, consumer staples, or the more defensive part of the market. As odd as that sounds, but if we're going to be working from home, we're going to be ordering things online, companies like Amazon, Microsoft, Google will be the beneficiaries of that. And those companies, as you highlighted before, with the NASDAQ being up today, continue to benefit here. And that's part of the reason why we kind of see a bifurcated market. Technology is doing very well. The rest of the market is still kind of struggling, and in general down about 10% year to date.
Are there deals to be had in some of those really soft sectors? I'm thinking travel and entertainment. Are there deals to be had, or is that just too risky at this point?
In our way of looking at things, it's still too risky. We don't have, like, AMC, the movie house. They're not open yet. We're hearing from some of the cruise lines that they may start doing some cruises. But if we start to see cases rise, they may pull back on that. Travel to Europe is being pulled back for U.S. citizens. So that's going to have an impact on some of the airlines that do a lot of travel to Europe and even the Far East. So it is very specific, and it can change as we go through time and as we see cases rise or hopefully fall as we go through the summer months.
You touched on how solid technology has been. Do you expect that to continue as the economy turns around, as things get better? You expect those prices to just keep going higher?
Well, I think we're in a position right now with a lot of the technology names that they are the darlings of Wall Street, and they are getting expensive. So if we look at a company that everybody likes, Zoom, which is offering their services up there at 40 times revenue, and that's very similar or more expensive than a lot of the technology names back in 99-2000. So we're getting some of those types of companies, valuations are extremely high for them, and there's a lot of expectations built in. That doesn't mean that they turn around tomorrow. They can continue to go higher, but just realize that you're now getting toward the end of that run. And at some point, we're going to wake up and see, you know, there's some other better values in the market outside of technology, but we're just not there yet.
Thanks so much, Paul Nolte, Portfolio Manager at Kingsview Asset Management here in Chicago. Just ahead, Technology Thursday. Your phone could be doing a lot more soon, including starting your car.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday here on the Noon Business Hour, and this afternoon we're looking at some of the possibilities of the next edition of Apple's iOS operating system. Jennifer Jolly is here, USA Today Tech Life columnist and founder and editor-in-chief of techish.com, based in San Francisco. Let's begin, Jennifer, by talking about storing a passport on your phone. It could be convenient, but I'm guessing some people are concerned about privacy as well.
That's exactly right. This is all part of iOS 14. And in a lot of ways, if you think about it, you know, you can store your airline ticket now on your phone. When you walk up, you just flash that little barcode, you walk right onto the airplane. So it's a next sort of evolution in terms of what is stored on your phone. A lot of people, your phone has become your wallet. You can carry and use it as a credit card now. So it makes sense to store your IDs, your passports, things like that on there. But what happens if that gets stolen or hacked? Those are the concerns. The good part about that is Apple is the best in the world and in the business at protecting your identification. Still, they have been hacked in the past, not nearly as much as everybody else, but that will be a concern when they go forward and this actually becomes usable, which might not be for another 5 years or so. So they might have the ability to do it with the launch of iOS 14 in the fall, but it won't become a reality for quite some time.
Just shows you, and you touched on this, it just shows you, though, everything is just moving to our phones to a point where they don't even want us to have to bring a wallet anywhere anymore.
That's right. And you know what? We don't want to have to bring a wallet anymore. You know, and when you do have to bring an ID and a credit card, you try to stick it on in a little holder with your phone anyway. But also what's interesting about today is the public beta for iOS 14 is available today. So you can go online and sign up to be basically a beta tester for iOS 14. So if you love technology, if you love to be the first to go hands-on with something, today's your day to get in on it.
Talk about the remote start for your automobile from your iPhone.
That's another new feature. It's called Car Keys, and it's another new feature launching in iOS 14 in the fall. When it comes out, though, the fine print here is that only new BMWs built after July 2020 will be able to utilize it. But the way it works is you'll walk up to that brand spanking new 2021 BMW that you just bought, and you'll either hold your phone up to a little kiosk outside of your car where you normally put in your key, or there'll be some kind of RFID code that will happen. And then once you get in your car, you'll set your phone in the little dock and that will turn your car on for you. Now, it's again sort of a next iteration, next step, something that you might kind of imagine would happen next with the way that we use our phones. But you know, to unlock and start your car. But this already exists in the form of apps with other cars already on the market. So I happen to be in Alaska right now. And in the winter up here, you have to turn your car on sometimes 10 minutes, 20 minutes before you go get in it, so it can warm up and de-ice itself before you walk out into the ice and cold and freezing cold car. So the idea of being in your inside your office in a building, turning your car on and warming it up before you go outside is a great idea. But with the new iOS 14, you'd actually have to be closer to your car for it to work. So it's kind of one of those like, hey, that's kind of cool, but I'm still fine with my keys and a and a third-party app right now.
Yeah, and technology, like everything, I'm sure will just continue getting better. Always good insight. Jennifer Jolly, founder and editor-in-chief of TechIsh.com. Second dose of Technology Thursday is just ahead, making sure workplaces are safe and secure as employees return to the office. And a reminder, this time tomorrow, Entrepreneur Friday.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Employees are returning to offices where they hope to find a safe workplace. Let's talk about some of the measures being taken. Tim Pickett is here, founder and president of Encompass Audiovisual in Elk Grove Village. Tim, it is good to have you here. There's a lot that fascinates me about some of these procedures. One of them, though, is the UV lighting that is being used. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So the UV lighting is essentially, as you know, with UV lighting, it's been used for dozens and dozens of years in the meat industry to, you know, break up pathogens and viruses. And there's no reason that we can't use it for this. So what the UV lighting packages do is essentially, for example, we install UV lights throughout an office space. The sensors would determine that everybody was gone for the day. And the UV lights would turn on for a time of about 30 minutes, which would kill about 99% of any pathogens, including COVID, that would that would be left there. And it would literally sterilize an entire office overnight.
So it's the sort of thing that, I mean, it sounds like it could be done every single evening.
That's exactly what it would be done. Yeah, 100%. There's no reason not to do it.
Well, what about the thermal cameras that are being used? I've actually seen some of these where they're monitoring workers as they're coming and going.
Correct. So the thermal cameras are really great for like factory type environments where you have, or manufacturing type environments where you have a lot of employees coming and going. They can monitor groups of people simultaneously, and they can also could do facial recognition at the same time with temperature recognition. So when the camera sees a person and the temperature is too high, it can shoot out a message to management saying that, hey, this and this employee has a temperature that is not within the parameters. And then, you know, we can pick that person out and, you know, get rid of that threat. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And I think it's interesting because then what you're not having, it sounds like what you're not having then is every employee having to stop to get their temperature checked.
Exactly. So you can have a group of employees or, multiple lines of employees simultaneously coming down a hallway. And these cameras can detect, you know, the employee and pick them out and give that to management as a safety issue.
Basically, I mean, it sounded like for employers, like they should just understand, employers and employees, that there are a lot of technological advances that are going to make the workplace safer, even in the days beyond COVID, when that's behind us.
Absolutely, Cisco. This is going to change the way that we do business forever. People are going to be working at home more. People are going to be doing a lot more video conferencing, which we have solutions for. It's going to be a lot less international travel, I think, because there's no purpose for it anymore. When you can deliver the same sort of meeting experience across the world without having to take a flight to China, it saves the company a lot of money and it saves, you know, a lot less health risks.
Yeah, really interesting stuff. Great advances. Thank you, Tim Pickett, founder and president, Encompass Audiovisual in Elk Grove Village.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.